Blog Talk Radio.
It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who cannot be scientifically explained, it's Patch and Switch.
I think it's more of a scientific exception, not necessarily explanation.
I really don't know. I don't get science. It confuses me.
Science is hard.
No, math is hard. Science just confuses me.
Only math that doesn't deal with binary to decimal conversion, that's all. That's hard. Or maybe some hex stuff.
Hex?
Hex, man.
Yeah. Binary is just ones and zeros.
You know, color codes that are hex-based, those I just use the widgets to be able to figure out what color I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So
you're not one of these guys who
I don't memorize
every single hex color code.
F1E or something like that. I don't remember that.
Hey, welcome everybody to the show. Patch and Switch, back again for another week.
Can you imagine? We survived it. We're here. They didn't cancel the show.
No.
We're still allowed to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, not that anyone's ever told us we can't do it.
Well, apparently they're not looking at our ratings.
That's true. Or previous viewers.
We wouldn't make it on network TV.
No, they definitely would not let us on network TV. And in fact, that's actually why we're doing this radio thing instead, because we have a face for TV, as they say. Or, sorry, face for radio.
A face for radio. Yes, absolutely. Let's give a big shout-out to everybody in the chat room.
Oh, it's growing, I see.
Yes, we've got Angry John. We've got AZ Growler Guy. Frederick, J-Shock here as always. Mr. Beckman has joined us. Also, Bender! Just saw Jim Murphy jump into the room, so welcome. Ludwig has joined us. Sean Lowe. Veronica has made it, as has Vizio MVP from Canada.
We have some new faces. We have some new faces in the room.
Yes, and I actually just saw Ludwig just leave.
Oh, we must have offended him or something.
Probably.
Could be.
Probably. Jim Murphy calling from the East Coast again.
Nice. Says.
Or actually chat. Is it calling? Chatting. I mean, you can call. It is a call-in show.
Yes,
nobody
actually
called in, but that's okay.
This is a call-in show. If you are interested, you are able to go ahead and interact with us besides just on the thing. We actually have a caller that's just been connected for the last 10 seconds. So that's actually exciting. You can reach us on the good old-fashioned POTS line at 646-595-4888, or you can do the good old-fashioned Skypes, which is how we're connected right now. And with the Skypes option, you simply have to have a registered Blog Talk Radio account. Go for the free one at the bottom of the list when you sign up. That gets you an actual name that shows up inside the chat room. And then once you're on the main page, you're able to go off and hit that little Skype button and attach.
Ludwig's back, just in case you were concerned.
I know.
He's made it back into the chat room, as has Patrick. So, greetings, Patrick.
So as always, I'm a little scared. Should we let this caller on and say hello, since it is a chat show?
Well, you know what? We might as well. We might as well. It's early. It's early yet.
It's early. Let's see what happens. I think we have connection. Welcome, caller. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Well, you tell us.
Not much. It is cold and rainy. My office is freezing because I haven't got the third zone in, but I guess this is Bender.
Dude, Bender, seriously. First world problems, man. It's 50 degrees.
I know.
It's not freezing. Start a campfire.
I do have to admit, I did wear a coat to work today.
He's indoors. You can't start campfires indoors?
And that's generally not recommended.
Here's the problem. If I could send you a picture, this would be really cool.
That there is the option in the chat room to go ahead and to share pictures, but that might be just crazy. Yeah.
So I'm in my office. I actually had to purchase, not that every IT geek shouldn't have a UPS, but I had to purchase a UPS because the space heater kept bringing down my systems. Because they only ran 15 amp to my office.
I got to say this. Ludwig just said in the chat room, I thought the Wisconsin folks were harder than that.
Yeah.
I can't believe you brought up the space heater, man. That is like the bane of every desktop support administrator's existence in life. I can't remember how many times I had myself troubleshooting failed switches and failed computer components because they would have the space heaters underneath their feet with like 10 pairs of shoes and trying to get the cable to connect back up to the printer again, the good old-fashioned LaserJet Series 2 printers that were the size of desks, tripping because they would all of a sudden kick in to warm up, and then the heater would kick in and everything would just go to haywire. That's hilarious, man.
So I figured out a way around of not bringing my systems down is that there's an outlet right outside my office door that is on a different circuit. So I can plug my space heater in the other room, and there's just enough cord to bring it over to my desk.
Oh, my goodness.
And the beauty of that is going to be, you know, like when the server fans kick in and he's on the same circuit.
That's why I have the UPS.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Just in case you bring something down, at least you've got backup power.
Actually, you know, the funny thing is that most people, like, maybe this is the first world problems again, too, is I actually do remember having UPSs at desks back in the old days. But now almost everybody's running with laptops these days, and laptops obviously have their own built-in UPS with good old-fashioned battery power.
Well, not everybody's using laptops.
I know, but that's...
People still use
me?
Desktops, actually. Yes.
It's just me that
just
thinks
because you're using a laptop all the time does not mean the rest of people are.
That's true.
I'm just saying. J-Shock actually recommends for heating, get larger computers.
That works.
That works.
I have a... a Dell 800 series... tower-based server in my home office that keeps my home office nice and toasty when it's on. It works.
So besides trying to keep yourself warm, Bender, what's happening?
Not much. Just got through the second week of school, and actually the semester's going actually fairly well. The last school year was more on the bottom end of the curve, and now we're more towards the top of the curve. I'm teaching a PowerShell class for the first time, so that's kind of interesting. It's actually pretty fun. It's something I threw my hat in the ring for because we've been teaching PowerShell for 3.5 years. Unfortunately, it is a intro to programming using PowerShell as the intro to programming language.
Ah, so you basically, the first one is get dash instructor name.
Pretty much. When I have students in my class that have taken the previous PowerShell class and I show them dash help and get dash history and their minds are blown, I know there's a problem.
No, you know what? That's just proper instruction there. That's just proper instruction.
Yeah. So
well, I'm glad you managed to sneak a dedicated PowerShell class into the curriculum. That's awesome, man. And is it a full year course or just a semester? Or what's the kind of length on this guy?
16 weeks.
Okay, 15 weeks. Very nice.
Yep. Yeah, so...
Very nice.
I'm following Ed Wilson's step-by-step book on that. And I think it's going really well. And, you know, we're bringing them along slowly. And the first day I basically, you know, I put up a slide with, you know, programming with a red circle and a line through it and basically told them from day one, we are not programming here. We are going to be starting from the ground up. We're going to teach you how to crawl, then to walk, and inevitably at the end of the day, I want you to be able to write a script. And if that script is simply taking 10 commands that you've run in the PowerShell console and put them into a PowerShell script and it runs and it does something, you've written a script.
So if I did something like 10 go to 20, 20 go to 10, would that work?
Possibly if we could find a... You know, maybe I could spin up a virtual machine with Microsoft Bob or something, and we could maybe run that on there.
I'm actually interested if I'm able to submit my homework assignments for this particular course and get credit for this particular setup that you have at your established educational institution.
I think you actually have to enroll first, buddy.
Do I can't audit the course?
Sure, you can audit the course if you want.
You can audit the course and just get no credit.
Okay, nice, nice.
I'll be happy to send you the assignments.
I expect a tweet with the link on a weekly basis.
Hey, Bender, that's awesome. Glad to hear that you're doing some PowerShell there. Try to stay warm in the Wisconsin. Bring back the warmer weather for when we're out in Chicago next week, will you, buddy?
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully it's
all right, buddy.
Weather.
Thanks for phoning in, and you have a good one, sir.
We'll talk soon.
All right, good to hear from Bender.
That was tough work, man. Like, we actually had to use the console to figure out how to attach the call. And everything. We haven't trained our audio engineer on how to do it, and he doesn't have access to it yet, so I don't know if we may have to step up his game. But, yeah, it was great hearing from Mr. Bender down in the East Coast area. But we have the five segments of the show that we're going to be going through, and the first segment is going to be called From the Trenches.
And it was a good start from Bender.
It was, definitely.
Because, you know, he's doing the PowerShells
and also
in the trenches.
And I swear everybody's heard that story of the space heater blowing circuits.
Oh, absolutely.
That one there is, like, legendary. Everyone has stories about that in their IT career, no matter when they started or what they were doing. That ranks up there almost as much as my cleaning staff having access to the secure storage room that was the server room. And they would unplug the server rack to plug in the floor polisher.
Yes, yes, because the server room floor needs to be polished.
It has to be polished.
That
makes
sense.
Floor.
It makes absolute sense. I like Sean Lowe, get event log, patch and switch, dash newest 20, / clip.
Nicely
done there.
Do you have any From the Trenches stories this week, my friend?
Angry John actually says, here's an idea. If you blow a circuit because of a space heater, you must wear a Snuggie for the rest of the week. No. I'm terrified of Snuggies. Seriously, some people are afraid of clowns. I'm afraid of Snuggies. That's just the way it is, John. That would not work for me. From the trenches, you know, I think, did we talk the FTP? We talked the FTPs last time.
We talked the FTPs last time.
I was spending some more time on the FTPs this week.
We had a conversation over coffee a couple days ago about how with the FTPs, we are doing this in a geo-diversified location, one Western Europe, one Asia Pacific, and then two in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the choice of when we established this, or when you established this back in the day.
Yeah, a year and a half ago.
it was literally just a matter of, okay, we get all the files up to one location, and then we worry about FTPing from that location to other locations to make
yes.
it all done.
Yes.
And I was querying you about what's the possibility now of simply, with the PowerShells command in the state that they're in and the accessible APIs for storage on Azure,
mm-hmm.
being able to simply take that one VHD file, which essentially is simply an entry inside the storage account, and saying, copy this to these locations from a blob to blob, and then remounting it on the other side, data center to data center, as opposed to doing the FTPs.
Right. Now, when we originally created the FTP sites, we didn't really have the ability to go data center to data center,
right.
So we would be paying for, you know, the data moving across.
The egress back in and out.
Right, exactly. I don't even know. I think maybe going data center to data center.
I don't think you did.
I don't know what the costing is on that. But
that's why we don't do billing.
That's exactly right. We don't do billing. We just put in the Amex card and call
it
good. But yeah, now actually
would potentially be more efficient to do that.
Well, see, now this, yes, I would think so, going data center to data center. Now, the main reasoning behind using FTP to go out to the other data centers is the multi-threading.
Yeah, multi-threaded, you get about 16 different threads or 10 different threads going at once to be able to do the copy process.
It all depends on the number of ports you opened up. I've opened up 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's just kind of, I just went round number.
Mm-hmm.
Or just kind of threw a dart at the board, and it came up with the number 15 and went with it.
But I could go in with the PowerShell extensions and simply say, attach up to storage account, do this, and I say, copy here. Well,
copy to
the
storage account, then you run another script after it's copied to go ahead and mount it and attach it. Yeah.
And that would be it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh,
absolutely. So we could do that.
That's a good thing. Maybe that'd be a good assignment for Bender's class.
Oh. There you go.
Copying VHDs between storage accounts in different geographical locations.
Using data center connectivity.
Know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Oh, I like that. I like that. There's more talk about Snuggies in the chat room, so I'm just ignoring it.
Yes. Good call. Other stuff I've been working on is I'm actually getting ready for Building 25, called the Reactor 25. watch out for hitting your microphone there, buddy.
Sorry.
And that particular building houses the organization, our organization's remote demo infrastructure. And I've basically been trying to do some upkeep on it and swapping some stuff out. And we're in the behind the scenes right now. Actually, our UK British intern is not here because he is currently swapping out the RD gateway on that environment to be a new RD gateway. And also set up remote web services, as well as secure it with a certificate.
Ah.
And at the same time, we're looking at, and we have already gone in and migrated about 125 DHCP scopes from one server to another server, and are establishing failover on those different scopes as well.
I believe the UK intern just entered the chat room.
Oh, nice. Hopefully
he says he's also working on a reactor. He could use the RDP files to do that.
I emailed them to him. Like, he has them. If he would just simply check his email, he would have gotten them yesterday attached.
I see. So we're now using the Patch and Switch Show chat room to
tech support.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
It's been a bit of a busy week, and then also obviously I'm speaking at a conference next week, and so I'm making sure that my demo infrastructure is happy. And
you started building it yet?
Hey, it's almost done.
So basically, you've just created a virtual machine and started it?
The VMs are done. They're all domain joined. They're part of the network. I'm just finalizing my exact commands that I'm running to make sure that the data gets migrated.
I actually last week saw you working on the PowerPoint slides. That's like a whole week in advance. So, I mean, that's rare.
It's templates. You know, I'm doing the good thing like you're supposed to do, and I'm adapting my slides to the templates of the conference.
I see.
And so it's been on my low priority list because I'd rather have demos than have slides. I think most people agree with that.
Yeah.
So I'm focusing my energy in the right spot. But I'll be the good conference guy. And everything will be in place, and I'll set to go on Sunday. Done. So that's it.
All right.
I'm out. Done. Finished.
My work stuff.
That's my work stuff. We got a busy day today, though, man. Like we're in studio now, the bunker,
yes.
And then we're in studios later.
Yes.
And in studios later.
We've been in the studios all week, it seems, this
nice.
Week.
I've actually got an awesome interview that I can't talk about that's going to be taking place today afterwards that I'll be able to talk about in a little while. So.
But you're talking about it.
No, but I'm not saying what it is, who it is, what it's
oh,
about.
I see.
So, yeah, that's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Can't wait.
How's that for a teaser?
There you go. It looks like Frederick says it's beer o'clock there. He's got a Polliner Hefe Weiss beer.
Nice.
J-Shock says it's technically mimosa o'clock here. I'm in agreement with that. It looks like Ladwig is not working.
No?
Day off, apparently. Simon Show says, damn, my auto-delete from Rick Claus rule just clicked in. So there you go.
There you go.
That would explain why he doesn't have the
RDP
files. Veronica's got better o'clock. It's actually Bloody Mary o'clock. And I'm with Veronica on that one.
Caesars. You guys with Bloody Marys. Caesars. You need clam juice in those drinks.
You Canadians. You
clam juice.
Kill me. I got to give a shout out to Veronica. She sent a tweet yesterday.
She did?
She
tweets?
Yeah, she does on occasion, apparently.
Wow.
No, this one actually, because, you know, yesterday, obviously, 9/11, 13 years. And she told her story, which actually really kind of, it just kind of caught my attention there. So you should go back and read that. Just something happened with her husband, and it was just, you know, kind of one of those things. So I got to give a shout, because that was pretty cool reading that. Sean Lowe asks why the phone is ringing when he should be listening. Apparently, the phone...
There is a make busy button.
Yes, make busy. Yes.
Or else forward it to one of your colleagues.
Ooh, that's a good idea. So should we forward our phones to J-Shock then?
Or? I don't answer my phone. I don't know about you.
You don't answer your phone?
My phone basically is, you know, the top 10 things you do with your phone. One of them is not answer it, and I only reactively text and email and stuff like that. So most people know that with me. Email me or text me if you want to get a hold of me, and that's the best way to do it.
There you go.
Have you got anything specific you've been doing over the past week, work-wise, from the trenches that you want to call out, my friend, or is it...
No, it's this time now.
Oh. Beer money. Let me see.
Have you done any personal support? I mean, have you been doing any... I got a call yesterday kind of talking about... So it's a small business, and they were interested in doing some remote control of PCs. And so the discussion kind of came around, should I use, you know, the go-to blah, blah software or, you know, use RDP, some of those things. Now, I'm a big fan of the fact that we just have RDP built into our systems. However, they have one of these networks that for some reason the various companies that are supplying broadband internet have to keep coming in and mucking with things. And I actually had the remote access working well, but that requires port forwarding, which doesn't work too well when they keep coming in and resetting routers. Port forwarding just kind of breaks when they reset it and they take away all the, you know, all the forwarding and everything else like that.
Are they using, is there internet provider acting as their firewall as well, I take it?
Well, so, yeah, there's two. So that's the thing is that they actually
turn their device into a bridge.
Right, and that's the issue is that first it has to hit that device and then forward it off to the internal networking, which also then is forwarding traffic. So, I would love to just, you know, open the firewall ports and stuff.
Not happy?
No. No. Is anybody using software like that? Does anybody have any recommendations on the
software-based
more current? On the currents. What's hot, what's not? I mean, I recommended the big boys, right, that are out there, the things that I know and love. But that's a question out to the chat.
Right? I used to be a WatchGuard guy in the old days.
Jay Shock says we need something like TeamViewer, and Bender agrees, TeamViewer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My issue with my mother-in-law, I've been using TeamViewer to help out with that one there. And that's worked out well for me for the remote access.
It
works. And actually, while we're waiting for that to come up in the chat room for the solutions for what people are saying, she actually went and fixed her system herself.
So did she mount the ISO and do the install and everything?
Well, she opted not to do the install. She's hanging on to that as a last resort. She wanted to try one more thing. So I honestly am so out of touch with this. I've never heard of this before. She bought a fix-it stick.
A what?
A fix-it stick from Walmart.
What is a fix-it stick?
It's a bootable USB stick that has various AV vendors installed on it that you basically boot from. You know, it's a clean environment, and it's read-only, so it can't be written to. And it will go in and basically, provided you don't have your hard drive BitLockered, we'll be able to go in and take a look at your system to see what's there and remove stuff. And apparently the fix-it stick worked, found a bunch of nasty stuff, and removed it still.
I mean, I know I'm not the only one because Simon Show just actually said that sounds dodgy.
I know.
I'm always a little concerned.
Buying my security devices from Walmart.
Yes.
But it's almost like, you know, the PC registry defragger or...
That's what I'm thinking, you know, right? Totally, it's essentially right? Malware inside of malware, right?
Well, apparently it seems to be happy. She's got her hot fixes and updates working again, and it doesn't appear as though anything else is wrong. I am ready at the standby to be able to go through and do a remote wipe and install on her system, but she appears to be happy once again.
Looks like some more people are jumping in on the bandwagon of the TeamViewer. Go to my PC has popped up there. Dameware as a couple other solutions. So I need to take a look at things there.
Free for personal use.
Yeah, and that's the concern with TeamViewer is it's business. So
business buy it. It's probably like $30 bucks or something. Like
yeah,
that.
And that's why I was thinking, you know, the go to my PC thing. The thing is, this thing has to be resilient. In other words, if the router's reset, if the PC, if the PC is on and connected to the internet, Homie needs to be able to access.
I've never once had an issue connecting up to a TeamViewer system before.
From all devices, right? From the Fruit device or the robot device or
They've got clients for them.
All right, cool.
Try it out, man. They've got clients.
We'll give it a look. We'll give it a look-see. AZ Growler Guy suggests that you should still go scan the mom's PC.
Now that it's receiving updates once again, which was the main issue, the provided antivirus software, Security Essentials, it's receiving updates, it's doing scans, it's reporting good stuff again, whereas before it was not able to update. So that is good.
So some issues.
You know, this is, again, one of those things of simply I never would have thought to go to a Walmart to get something called a fix-it stick.
Right.
And the fact that she did, she was great. So it's ideally what would have happened is I would have known someone in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada, that I could have simply said, hey, buddy, can you go and help out my mother-in-law and I'll give you a case of beer, as the typical kind of beer money fix before.
Yep.
But unfortunately, I do not have any connections directly inside Sudbury, Ontario.
Ah.
Small town, Ontario, Canada. So she was stuck. And the funny thing was, I was up in Ontario, and she actually came and visited me when I was there. And I'm like, why didn't you bring the system with you? And
yeah.
I could have just fixed it on the spot. She's like, I didn't think to. So.
Yeah, missed out.
Other priorities?
Missed out on the
other priorities.
AZ Growler Guy says, ouch, that stick is $50 on Walmart's website. Eek.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, I think she returned it. She used it and she returned it.
Flexible return
policy.
Saying
it didn't work and she got her money back. So,
Ladwig wants to know how do you not know anyone there? I thought everybody in IT in Canada knew who you were.
It's like I was wondering if Ledwig does Ledwig know John in St. Louis?
I
think he knows John.
Probably, I don't know. Ledwig knows everybody.
He is a food truck guy.
Yeah.
And John is a food truck guy too.
Speaking of food trucks, can we go on a tangent?
No, we cannot do tangents on this show.
We never do. We food trucked the other day.
Yeah, we did. We actually went and walked to the food truck.
J-Shock actually has an answer to you, Scott. They don't know Rick, but they know the hat.
Ew.
So there you go. Ledwig wants to know John who. John isn't enough. John's enough.
Come on. I know Bob in Canada. What are you talking about?
I mean, come on. So, food truck. Unhealthy.
Yeah, yes. It is good.
We hit the
are
fried
there healthy
chicken.
Food trucks?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, they're all the rage, particularly on the West Coast here. But we had the fried chicken food truck. That used to visit outside, you know, the bunker here.
As Eskels? What is it called?
Azels?
Azels.
Yeah.
Eskels.
And Azels is a fried chicken place that's local here in the Seattle area, and they actually have a food truck. And I'll tell you what. You know what? Sometimes you just need fried chicken and
makes
some French fries. And then the rolls.
Yeah, the little small balls of white goodness.
Yes, exactly. But it's got like a sweetness,
yeah.
And it kind of tastes like there's cornmeal in it, I think. I don't know.
No idea.
It was just fantastic. J-Shock says spicy strips for the win. I go with the original drumettes. That's where I go.
I'm the strips that's spicy as well. But I do have to say, I'm going to call you out on this one here. It's rather funny when you pick up your order and the person giving you your order knows your name and says, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yes. Well,
you're burned there, buddy.
Well, I am. Well, it's because they used to come here
like
every other week,
yeah,
right? So, and when they would come.
You are a rather noticeable 6'12" guy with good hair. So
exactly.
You are noticeable.
Kyle Beckman says chicken and waffles. Mm, yeah. Chicken and waffles. I've got to say this. There's a new place that I checked out. Down in Bellevue, which has amazing chicken and waffles.
I don't get the chicken and waffles thing.
Oh, it's so good. It's a Southern thing.
It's a Southern thing? I don't
Yeah,
know.
You're a Northerner.
No,
you're a Northerner. If it's not Timbits and, you know, Poutine, then you guys don't eat it.
We
got to find a place around here that does Poutine.
Actually, they're... I have found a reasonable facsimile of poutine over in, where is that? Bella Bottega.
Oh, yeah?
Bella Bottega movie theaters here in Redmond.
Yeah.
The Irish Bar.
Yes, love that Irish place.
They have a Irish poutine.
Yes. Veronica knows the place I went to, and she's posted it in the chat room, lot number 3. Fantastic place. Have it with an old-fashioned. Great cocktails there. Great. They have a lot of whiskey. Yes.
You know what they need? And I want to, this would be a very good business venture. They need a beer truck. Why don't they have a beer truck? They've got food trucks. Why not beer trucks? Get a mobile license to serve.
There you go.
But you
it's
can
right
set,
there.
You can set up a sanction, you know, like a defined area we're allowed to drink. You could get a license for that particular area and make sure you're not within 1,000 feet of the schools or something like that and you're not selling to minors and you have to consume it inside that area. Why don't they have a beer truck?
You know, we're going to have to, you know what? Shark Tank. We're going to Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to Shark Tank.
We'll see what it is. That could work. I swear it could work.
Patrick wants to know what poutine is.
What? Okay, he's from Europe. Poutine, I'm like, poutine, and it's poutine. It's not poutine.
In Ontario, Vizion VP says, in Ontario, the beer store has beer trucks.
Very nice. Now, I can see those for events.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking it's like random beer truck.
And we've got I also got a new investor in Veronica. Veronica's in for the beer truck.
You got it. Perfect.
Okay, so you're talking about poutine.
So poutine. Poutine is basically French fries.
Oh, yes.
That are cooked, obviously. And then they are super hot right out of the fat and then salted, thrown inside a container like you're going to be serving it, not inside this big massive thing you then would salt like you would
yes.
fries. And then you throw on a handful of cheese curds. It has
yes.
to be sharp, sharp cheese curds that squeak when you bite into them.
Yes.
It's squeaky cheese, as we call it. Then you would have a beef or chicken gravy that you pour on top of it. So it's gravy, fries, and squeaky cheese. All on top. And then obviously the gravy melts the cheese and then it eats into it.
And the gravy and the fries. And
then there's variations of poutine. They actually have restaurants that just make poutine in Quebec. And you can get 98 different styles of poutine out there. And that they'll have like fried onions, they'll have peppers, they'll have different types of meat on top of them and stuff like that. I've actually had lobster poutine, which is really, really good.
Oh.
So again, instead of gravy for that one there, you'd use a lobster bisque. With chunks of lobster on top of it and cheese and fries, it's just to die for. It's awesome.
I love lobster bisque. Love fries.
I should make a poutine truck. And that's another good investment.
Probably. Lobster. We need some lobster in here.
a poutine truck would be good.
So Jim is talking about how you get classic poutine at the local Costco. They've got McDonald's.
McDonald's is obviously.
Yeah.
But the idea is actually, supposedly, poutine came from the Napoleonic War when the food stores were getting low and they're looking to feed the troops something.
Mm-hmm.
The French basically said, we have some moldy potatoes, some rotten cheese, and some rancid beef. So let's make some gravy, chop up the potatoes, and throw the cheese on top, and that's poutine.
Hey, Patrick, the gravy part is not dodgy at all. The gravy part
is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Dodgy would be some people have actually taken the same type of gravy and they serve it on top of a slice of pizza. So it's a slice of pizza with gravy on top.
Why would you do that?
Picture it at 3 o'clock in the morning coming out of a bar.
Yeah,
looking for
still
something
not
to
working
eat.
For me.
It's
still not working for me.
There's a famous place in Ottawa that actually makes this pizza with gravy and it's like line up out the door.
I'm with Veronica. She says, ew. And I'm with her. I'm with her on that.
We have definitely gone tangential on this for sure.
Patrick says, then you put loads of Tabasco on the pizza. Or in my case, you make Patrick turn his head and then cover the pizza in
I still remember that.
The hot pepper.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Veronica says she eats biscuits and gravy at 2 a.m. after last call. That's good. I'm always one for the street vendor hot dogs. I'm a sucker for those
things. You guys do cream cheese on hot dogs here, right?
The Seattle dog, yeah.
I don't get that. I don't know.
J-Shock says better replace the hot peppers with potpourri. You're wrong, J-Shock. You are wrong.
Okay.
Angry John says you may as well add mashed potatoes to the pizza as well. Yeah, okay, so we got to get off.
We got to get back on track.
So let's talk about beer talk.
Beer talk or random spinning?
Random spinning.
Well, no, we've got beer talk first, then random spinning. We've got time for
okay,
this.
All right. Yeah, we've got plenty of time. There's still
beer talk.
15 minutes in the show.
So I'm jonesing to make more beer.
Yeah, because it's been a while.
It's been a very long time. I'm on my second keg of Scotch
Bender,
Ale.
For sure. We are going to Portillo's for a combo on many occasions.
Yeah,
anyway,
so,
continuing.
So I'm almost out of Scotch Ale, which is not good.
What?
I'm almost out of Clogger.
We made 10 gallons of Scotch Ale.
One's gone. The second one is
how is one gone?
Empty.
We didn't drink it.
You've been away, dude. our sound engineer has been taking growlers of it at home. So, he's part of the team. He's allowed to.
I know.
So anyway, which is good because it's an opportunity to go in and to make more Scotch Ale to refine the recipe, which is good. But I also have to go in and you start my clogger because the clogger takes like 12 to 18 weeks.
Yes, it does.
So I got to start that again. But my issue is I've been researching far too much on how to upgrade the brewery equipment.
Well, so this counts as random spending, right?
It does, sort of.
We can combine both.
I want to buy a RIMS controller.
Yes.
It is technology because there is a PC interface cable for this controller. This controller will go through and basically control igniting flammable gas reliably. Here we go. Flammable gas reliably to control temperature and then turn it off. And then you can program the controller to say, bring this to 144, hold it for 6 minutes. Bring it to 152, hold it for 12 minutes. Bring it to 160, hold it for 30 minutes. So basically you can have different steps that are so accurate within half a degree, all programmed and ready to go for your recipe.
Bender says, got to go electric, get rid of the gas. I strongly disagree.
I like the gas.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I do as well. I do so. As well. The great thing about Bender says it's too much work. No,
this is programmed.
Well, the fact of the matter is that it's more opportunity and longer brew times.
Yes.
Right? So I'm okay with more work.
Longer brew times means more drinking time.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Works totally.
So the great thing about using a system like this is that we gain a little more consistency.
The biggest variable that we have and that we're faced with right now is this whole, can we keep the temperature at the right levels? So we've got the mash down, we got all that sort of stuff going, but we can't keep the temperature reliably in that one sweet spot. This guy here does it all for us.
And understand that for some reason in the summer, when it's warm outside and actually comfortable to be in the beer-making garage, we don't make beer in the summer where it's comfortable to be out the beer-making garage. We wait until
it's cold.
Yes.
Right.
Which makes temperature control very difficult.
So now I'm faced with, do I buy the all-inclusive package that's programmable by a PC interface? It's like, I want to say $550. Minimum entry point is $550. That's just for one component.
So that's the controller and the software.
That's just the controller and the software built in. You got to buy a $30 cable to make it work. So basically, it costs $600.
Okay.
Do I buy that plus the tower of power it plugs into, which is basically the pump, which does the recirculation and a bunch of other attachments and some other stuff that makes it look good, for another $500? So you're in this with grand all of a sudden.
$100.
So it's like, you know what this is? Our friend Corey Hines runs a data center and a bunch of stuff in data center, and he calls it a data center dollar, which is about $10,000.
Yeah.
So
isn't 10 grand.
No, but when his staff come to him and ask him to be able to, you know, buy some new servers, buy some new stuff, he says, "How many dollars is it?" And they just tell him in data center dollars.
Oh, so it's like one data center.
It's like $20.
Oh, okay.
20 data center dollars.
Yeah. Oh.
Times 10 of the carry the one. That's $200,000.
$20,000.
Oh, yeah. 20. That's why I don't do math. So this would be like a beer buck. So basically a beer buck is $100. So this would basically be about a $10 investment, a $10 brewery investment. But the cool thing is all these components are transferable to any other system that we migrate and upgrade to. And you can also use your existing equipment or upgrade your equipment to even better stuff.
Well, we've been talking about potentially upgrading one of the burners anyway.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So a burner is $150. So it's a buck and a half. It's a buck
and a half. Sean Lowe says he's convinced a security company that they cannot install their own switch, so he's going to be setting a properly programmed switch over. Hopefully his phone will stop ringing now. We hope so, too, because there's only like 10 minutes left in the show, Sean Lowe, and you've completely missed it.
So do you have any random spending, since we kind of went into beer money / random spending?
Well, so
I actually have tech stuff, too.
Go ahead with your tech stuff. I mean, I'm doing some random spending, but it's mostly around the music production. But it is tech.
Oh, totally.
Right? Because so I've started a new radio show,
mm-hmm.
You know, blatant plug, Saturdays.
What's your time slot?
It's 8 p.m. UK time, so I believe. It's noon Pacific.
It's around noonish or 1-ish Pacific.
Yeah, no, it's noon Pacific, right?
You'll
2 hours.
Right?
Housebeat.eu. Yeah, I'll tweet it.
Okay.
In fact, Bender joined the last show. It was
nice.
Kind of cool. But at any rate, one of the challenges that I've always had in doing a weekly show is when I travel. And so I'm actually looking at a piece of kit.
You travel?
A lot. I'm looking at a piece of kit. That will enable me, it's basically a mixer, but it's very, very small and remote and portable. The bad part about it is it requires me to use software to DJ, which I have used it in the past. It's mm-hmm. just I'm not a big fan of it. I'm, you know, old school, just get me the CD players and go. Or actually, even more old school, part of last week's show was actually done using vinyl. It was done actually using vinyl. Let's see, what are you trying to...
I'm sorry, I can't, you need to look in here.
Oh, all right. I got to look here.
Do we have time for that?
So let's continue on this section here, and we'll see if we can get there.
Really quickly, I'm actually buying, finally, Don Jones's book, Learn PowerShell 3 in a Month of Lunches, because I want to see him soon, and I want him to sign it.
Ah, there you go.
So I'm finally getting a copy of the book. And because I'm going to be traveling next little while, also with you as well, I bought myself a RAV Power 10,000 milliamp external battery. I'm tired of my phone dying on me when I'm on the road and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is a big-ass battery that's about the size of my wallet.
Okay.
Very nice. There was a sale on recently for a Volomate 25-watt family-size 5-port USB charger. It went down to $17, and so I bought that. Basically, you just plug that into the wall, and then you've got 2.5-amp charging USB spots.
Yeah.
That I can now sit on my kitchen counter to be able to charge the various devices.
Oh, and that's also handy.
It's definitely handy. It was $17. How can you complain?
Yeah, why didn't you tell me about that?
Because I want to make sure I got one before they sold out. And there's another one that I bought was because I'm going to be presenting at a conference next week with my Surface Pro 3, I wanted to make sure I have a reliable video connection.
We were talking about that at lunch the other day.
So I found a Cable Matters mini display port that will do a 3-in-1 adapter. This one mini display port will be able to display either VGA or HDMI or VGA, HDMI, or DisplayPort. So three different types all off of this one little cable.
And works with the
works
SP
with the Surfaces
3?
Surfaces yeah. Pro, and works with all the Macintoshes that are of a modern variety of some kind.
Now,
I've just received my text actually that they have arrived at my house.
Oh, so excellent. Now I was looking at the device that we were chatting about last time.
The Ethernet connected three USB port
but
things.
The one thing I can't find anywhere on the website is what is the power adapter you can buy for it, because it needs to be powered. I need a powered USB adapter when I'm at home in the studio. So.
Yeah.
Hey, it looks like we got a caller, so we've got a couple minutes left, like literally 2 minutes to get to this caller.
Why don't we get the caller to help us name the next show? But we've got to keep him under control to make sure that we stay on time, because the band is going to be arriving.
All right.
That was interesting.
Well, so to the listeners, we apologize on that one. That's what happens when you have a live call-in show.
That's why we need to have, like, a screener person.
That's exactly why we need a screener.
Yeah.
We need a technology screener. Phrasing. Hashtag phrasing. Frederick says we need a longer show. I'm really not sure that we could actually handle a longer show. Though we'll think about it.
Let's go for naming segment, man.
That's right. It's time to name next week's show, which is where we actually ask you, our beloved followers in the chat room, to throw out random words. To name next week's show. What was this week's show called? It was very food oriented. It was like ketchup
Dijon back bacon.
Oh,
ketchup back bacon Dijon.
So, there you go.
Thank you.
I like McGaijit, by the way. Hi, Harjit. Power poutine. One word. Power poutine.
I gotta write this down.
One word. Frederick says Oktoberfest, and I'm with that one because it is that time. And Veronica will go with hers, truck. Power Putin Oktoberfest truck. That sounds. Wow. There it is, business. That's our next business, and I ripped my headphones.
He's got so excited, he jumped up out of the chair. His earphones went flying. Oh, the craziness that goes on in this environment. I tell you, it's absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts.
That is a great idea for a truck. And of course, I think Angry John says now he's really hungry. I believe that everybody listening and following along in the chat room is very hungry. Yes, exactly, AZ Growler Guy. Look out, Food Truck Wars. I'm with you. Ladwig says one of his food trucks does Putin now and then. So he says he's missed it every time. I don't think that's acceptable. I know. I see you guys coming in. It's fine. We still have at least another minute and a half. The band is getting a little bit out of control. Veronica,
hey, watch that oboe.
Well.
Yeah,
that oboe. The oboe. The oboe player is always out of hand. I think we may need to look at replacing him. So I think that kind of wraps up this week's show. So there's the band firing up, getting ready to play us out. Thanks to Bender for calling in. Thanks to the other caller for completely devolving the show.
Freaking us out.
Got to say thanks to everybody in the chat room. Angry John, AZ Growler Guy, Frederick, the two guests, Jim Murphy, Jay Shock, Kyle Beckman, Harjit, Bender. Thanks for calling. Ladwig, Sean Lowe, Veronica, of course. And, of course, everybody else who wasn't in the chat room. Oh, there's more. Let's see. Simon's show, Visio MVP, and, of course, Patrick. So there you go. I had to scroll down the chat room. That does it for another episode of the Patch and Switch Show.
Thanks
so
for-
Yeah, thanks for joining us, and have a weekend, everybody.